Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were taught that rewards will be lost for things that we should have done, but did not do them. Let's continue with that thought today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And when the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The work that you were supposed to do that you didn't know because you didn't seek Him. The work you knew to do, but you didn't do it. No, it wasn't that important. You didn't give it your best. You just kind of haphazardly did some things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, something about counting the loss. The loss of reward. He comes quickly. That is, without warning. What is the reward you think will be coming for you? Remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, to all those who love his appearing. Now let me ask you, is there a crown that you know you'll be receiving when Christ returns? Will there be that crown of righteousness? Will there be that crown of rejoicing? You see, that is our own personal responsibility. And you know, when I just read that verse, he says, behold, I come quickly, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. There's a semicolon following, quickly. What does he mean by that? Well, it means that you can't play around with this. There's not going to be a second chance on it. I mean, look back in our text again in Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, which we were reading. He said, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, those are things we're going to rob of reward, and they are things, besides robbing of reward, are going to make you ashamed at his appearing. When it's the hidden things of darkness, when it's the counsels, the secrets of the heart, the intents. And by the way, they're made known. And that verse is followed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with, then shall every man have praise of God. Why would we praise God when that's been made known? We praise God because we'll realize that we sang about it, but we didn't realize how strong and powerful that was. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me, because I didn't deserve it. And so, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there's that semicolon again. Jesus is coming, my friend. That semicolon's a good place to stop and say, think about this. Think about this. You know, we live in a day because personal responsibility needs to be taken by all of us. I used to work in stores when I was going through college. That's kind of like a security thing where I'd get up stairs and look through a two-way mirror and watch people out there. And I can remember kids, little kids, stealing maybe candy or toy or something off of a shelf. But looking every which way, looking around, and then put something under their shirt real quick. Now, there'd be others that'd be around them and even employees standing there, and they wouldn't see it, had no idea. I'm not God, but that kind of gave me the idea that that just might be the way it is, though. Although nobody sees my failures and my downfallings, God sees it. But then we see the people that try to say, well, you know, the home I was raised in, well, my spouse did this, and this happened to me, that happened to me, and all the, look, that kid that stole can say, well, my parents did this, my parents did that, or so many other things that we try to blame society on. They blame the home, and listen, those were bad homes, and those people would be called into an account. Maybe it was sexual abuse, maybe it's somebody, and those people would be called into an account. No doubt. But you need to understand as well, we were created in God's image, so we all have a spirit. Every living human being on this planet has a spirit. The Bible says we're all of one blood. You know, they say racist, this comment's racist, that comment's racist. I'm not even sure what that means, because we're all of one race. It's the human race. Bible says we're all of one blood. Whether it's an Asian, whether it's a black man, whether it's a white man, no matter what they are, you stick them with a knife, guess what? Red blood's going to come out of each one. We're all of one race. Now, that doesn't mean same blood type. White people aren't of the same blood type. I mean, you got two different families, you got two different blood types, maybe three or four different blood types in one family. You go to a black family, the same, be Asian family, Jewish family, different blood types, but we're all of one blood. The Bible says so. Now, you either got to call God a liar and that you know so much more than him, or you got to admit, no, God is the true God and I'm going to appear for him one day, so I better get some things right. I'm tired of society that looks to blame everything that goes wrong, that's bad, on church, on God, on education, on parents, on all these other things, instead of teaching personal responsibility for your own action. So, verse 13 of our text, what did it say? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The semicolon at the end of Christ shows what's next in verse 14 is important. Therefore, verse 14 is expanding on verse 13. The subject of Jesus Christ in that Greek couplet that is there in verse 13. Now remember here what a Greek couplet is, okay? He says, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a Greek couplet. In its writing, what's written in Greek, our English, and King James is translated from that Greek. And so that very Greek thing is a Greek couplet. And a Greek couplet is simply this. It is that when you have two adjective nouns in the same phrase or couplet, they refer to the same subject. Great God and Savior. Great God, adjective, noun, and Savior, adjective, yet a noun. Savior, describing what he does. Savior, who he is. Great, what he is, what he does. God, who he is. Great God and Savior, then who is it? Jesus Christ. Now that's a true and always in Greek grammar that a Greek couplet with two adjective nouns will refer to the same subject. Jesus Christ here is called Great God and Savior. Now, people can get upset about that, especially if they're Jehovah's Witness or something else, but I'm still going to go along with God regardless of how upset it makes someone else. And that's the way we have to be. When God and man differs, God is all right, always right, and man is always wrong. Now, so here we see verse 14 then is telling us, who gave himself for us. Who? Jesus Christ gave himself for us. But the Father was involved in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then on the other hand, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, you see, God the Father, God the Son, in the same phrases here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says there, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And so, again, we have that. And then you can look in Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8. And on we go about seeing these things about God. But he did this great thing of love to send his only begotten Son and Jesus to willingly do so. That was all that he might redeem us, even at the cross. As I'm recording this, it's Wednesday. Sunday, I'll be preaching on the resurrection. But he did so that he might redeem us. That word redeem in Greek, latru, is defined as he who gives a ransom. Rather, they who receive it is to release upon receipt of ransom. And so they who receive it, they receive it to release them. All sin is against God. When that blood was applied at the mercy seat in heaven of Jesus shed on the cross, that became the receipt. The ransom was paid, and he ransomed me. And so, this statement, to redeem us from all iniquity, we see, for example, in John 20, verse 17. To redeem us from all iniquity.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm.